All right. Open your Bibles up to Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to talk about what is faith. This is the coolest notes I've ever seen. This Bible is just too cool. I bought it from a friend of mine, and I was really, really struggling with a huge challenge that had hindered me for a long time, and it was a painful one. It was absolutely a nightmare. But I got a hold of these notes, and I knew my answer was in there, and finally it hit me. But it was going through these notes that got me there. We're going to talk about what is faith. And the central truth of this whole deal is faith is grasping the unrealities of hope and bringing them into the realm of reality. You know, we may believe things that just don't make sense. How many of you believe you're going to heaven? How do you know you're going to heaven? Have you ever been to heaven? You never been there? How many of you believe in the rapture? Have you ever been raptured before? You ever seen anybody get raptured before? Yeah. Are you out of your mind? No. What you're doing is you're grasping the unrealities of hope and bringing them into the realm of reality. That's how we get born again. That's how we get healed. That's how we get finances. That's how we get anything we're going to get from heaven. Amen? Now, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. We're going to start building a foundation for this deal. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Another translation puts it this way. Faith means that we are confident of what we hope for, convinced of what we do not see. Yet another translation says faith is giving substance to things hoped for. Another one says faith is the warranty deed, the thing for which we have finally hoped is at last ours. Here God is telling us what faith is. Literally, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. That's how we become righteous. Righteousness is by faith. By faith. You can't earn righteousness. It's in right standing. You just believe that what Jesus did on the cross is greater than any sin you ever committed. I don't care how mean and evil and twisted and wrong anybody in this world ever was. The minute they turn to Jesus and say, forgive me, be my Lord, guess what happens? Boom. They're born again. They are in right standing with God by faith in Jesus. If there's ever one sin that the blood of Jesus could not conquer, if there was ever one that the blood of Jesus couldn't conquer, then it can't conquer any of them. See, you get to quit putting weights on sins. Well, I don't do this. You know, I might do this, but it's a little sin. But I don't do this big one. Sin is a state. You got to understand so much of the time when they're talking in the Bible about sin, they're talking about the state of sin. You got delivered from that sinful state into a new righteous state. Amen. Okay. There are a number of kinds of faith. Everyone, saved and unsaved alike, has a natural human faith. Everybody has some kind of natural human faith. They may put their faith in themselves. They may put their faith in a lot of different things. But they have a human faith. But this scripture that we just covered is talking about a supernatural faith. A faith that believes with the heart rather than believing with what our physical senses may tell us. Faith, in other words, is grasping the unrealities of hope and bringing them into the realm of reality. And faith grows out of the Word of God. Remember, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. I can't emphasize that enough. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. You heard somebody talk about Jesus dying on the cross for your sins. You believed it in your heart, and you confessed it with your mouth. You can't get your mind wrapped around so much of the faith realities that we're dealing with. People try that, and it's called mental ascent. And it's one of the biggest battles that I have to fight on a daily basis when dealing with people. I don't get too irritated with everyday people. But when people get into a position of authority and they start throwing mental assent my way, I get irritated fast. That rubs me wrong. You're in leadership. You need to stand up and be in faith. You got to have a full assurance that God is who He said He is, and God will do what He said He would do. Okay? Now, this is what I try to convince people of all the time. That God is good all the time. He's not your problem. God is on your side, and God has already paid for your healing. Our job is to just receive it. God has already paid for your finances. Our job is to receive it. God has already paid for your safety. Our job is to receive it. Amen? That's our job. The Bible tells us that we've been made kings and priests. You need to know that when you got born again, you got seated in Christ at the right hand of God. It means you're sitting down. You know, when Jesus got done doing His work, He sat down. Now, Jesus is our high priest. He is our high priest. Now, in the Old Testament, under the law, when the high priest went into the temple to take care of what he had to do, he could not sit down. There was no place for him to sit down. He had to stand up and keep working. It was quite a long time just standing there doing what he had to do. He could not sit down. His work was never, ever done. Under the Old Testament, your work is never, ever done. When you're under the law, your work is never, ever done. But when Jesus finished His work on the cross, He sat down. And we sat down with Him. Now, if you're sitting down, you're not working. So you have to receive. Which means you're first going to have to believe. Which means you're first going to have faith. And you're going to have to first hear the Word. Amen? You have to hear the Word. And hear it so you can get it in your heart to receive it. Amen? It describes faith as evidence of things not seen. For example, you hope for finances to meet the obligations that you have to pay. Faith gives the assurance that you will have the money when you need it. You hope for physical strength to do the work that you must do. Faith says, the Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Faith will say about itself everything that the Word says, for faith in God is simply faith in His Word. That's one thing we have to understand about God, is He cannot lie. You know, God holds His own Word above Himself. God cannot lie. You know how many people will shout hallelujah when you say that? They'll say, yeah, praise God, God cannot lie. I believe the Bible from front to back. And walk out that door and act just as though God lied to them. They'll shout hallelujah. God is going to meet our needs and step out of this room and say, well, I know He can. What if He doesn't? You just said you believed the Word. Do you believe it or not? These are some of the battle lines everybody has to cross. Every one of us has to face this battle at some point. Did God say He would do it? Then it's as good as done. Amen? Now, let's go there's one thing that we have to understand. We may say that we know God's Word is good, but we will never really know until we have acted on it and have reaped its results. See, this is, somebody said one time that faith is like a muscle and you have to build it up. See, you know, it's okay. You don't have to go out there and attack Sleeping Lion Mountain and try to move that thing. That's not necessary. You can believe God for some small things and practice. You know, it's better to get a little bit of practice so that when I didn't say if, I said when that big event happens, you have some conditioning and you have some experience to fall back on. You know something kind of cool about little David, the shepherd boy, when he killed that giant? He kind of rehearsed some things. He didn't just go out there and pick up a rock and throw it at this giant. One thing he did is he reminded himself and the people around him, said, you know, when I was out there herding sheep, one time a lion came and got one of my lambs. And I went over there and I grabbed him by the beard and I pulled that lamb out of his mouth and I killed that lion with my stick. And another time, a bear came and got one of my lambs. And I went out there and I grabbed him and pulled that lamb out of his mouth and I killed him with a stick. And another peculiar thing that he did when he faced that giant, he said, who are you, you uncircumcised Philistine, that you should defy the armies of the Lord? That was not just some words to fill in a chapter. He was saying, I have a covenant with God Almighty. You don't. He was talking to his giant. His brothers and the rest of the soldiers around there were talking about this giant. Remember Mark chapter 11, verse 22, 23, 24? Jesus said, talk to your mountain. David was talking to his mountain. All of his friends and his brothers, they were talking about this giant. Look how big he is. Man, he's a mean looking dude. Did you see that sword? They're just talking about their problem. Christians running around talking about their problem. Talking about their financial disaster. Talking about how impossible this thing may look. Talking about how, you know, the doctor said this cancer, you know, 1% live. And they talk about it instead of talking to it. Instead of talking to their mountain, they talk about it. When they talk about it, that mountain gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. But when you talk to it, it'll go down. But you're going to have to use the Word of God to talk to that mountain. So faith is giving substance of things hoped for. When you act on the Word, when you act on God's Word, say maybe for physical strength, that physical strength will be there. When you act on it, your faith will give substance to it. Faith says that you have it now. Hope says that I'll have it sometime. And, you know, I try to locate people. When I'm dealing with people, I try to locate them. And I say, well, where do you stand on healing? So, well, I believe I'm going to be healed. That means they're hoping that sometime in the future that they're going to attain this healing. And, you know, they're going to keep hoping for this healing, maybe some of them till they die. They have to stop and consider where they are located, and they have to decide that they have it now. It's already been given to them, and it's theirs now. It's theirs now. Faith says, I have it now. Now, it's good to have hope, but we have to place that hope in the right things, and we have to make sure that we don't get hope mixed up with faith, and we don't get faith mixed up with hope. Amen? You have a hope for a good future because that's what God promised you. And then you put your faith to that and you believe that your future is bright. You're going to have to pay strict attention to what you're looking at and strict attention to what you're listening to if you're going to have a bright future. If you're going to, like, I wake up in a good mood, I just see things every day that shows me that God is winning this thing. And I can tell people, I can tell what they're feeding on. They're running around, they're afraid, they're scared. Some of them have been digging a hole in the ground for years and stashing food. Some of them, their food supply outlives them. They've been digging in for so long. You know, right out here on Dolores Mountain, there's a bunker up there. It has 3-foot walls of concrete. And this ceiling is really thick. I've been in it. And they actually, there was a tunnel. And the tunnel comes out by the road. And that's all there was. Well, this guy built it and he added a second story on it. And he used the bunker for a bed and breakfast or whatever. Company comes, they use that. And they build some little steps to get upstairs. And that's where they live. That guy didn't live to see his nuclear war. People have been digging in for a long time because they've been focused on the wrong thing. They've been focused on the problem and not the answer. So let's get to this head faith versus heart faith. Any of you ever heard of John Wesley? This guy was a knockout. He once said that the devil has given the church a substitute for faith, one that looks and sounds so much like faith that few people can tell the difference. The substitute he called mental assent. Many people read God's word and agree that it is true, but they are agreeing only with their minds, and that is not what gets the job done. It is heart faith that receives from God. People like to try to figure stuff out. They like to know the answers. They like to know what's going to happen tomorrow. They want to know what's going to happen next week. They want to know all the answers before they start. They ain't going to get the job done. That's not faith. That's your own human ability. That's your own fleshly works. There's nothing cooler. There is nothing cooler than getting out there and starting something, not having any idea how anything's going to happen, not having any idea how you're going to make it work, not having any idea how any of this stuff's going to go down, and you just jump out there and you say, well, God, you said you would meet all our needs according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. What are you going to do? We started here, man. And then watch these creative channels that he uses to meet your needs. It just blows your mind sometimes. Amen. Just people just show up out of nowhere for no reason and just boom, lay it on you. That's coming from God. Amen. And he used somebody to do it. But here's the key. Never once did he ever tell you to go beg anybody to meet your needs. Never once did he ever tell you to run around and tell everybody you need this. He said, you step out in faith, people are going to start asking questions, and they're going to want to know what you're doing and why. And then some of them are going to just want to get in on it with you. Amen. Go to Mark chapter 11, verse 23. Anybody got these verses circled? Probably. Kenneth Hagin spent over 50 years preaching. And these verses were the basis of his whole ministry. And he said he never got to the bottom of these verses. That guy did some mighty things. And he didn't get to the bottom of these two verses. It says, for verily I say unto you, that by the way, this is in red letters. This means Jesus is talking here. I mean, Jesus himself is saying these words. I mean, it has to be the absolute, infallible, 100% white-hot truth. Amen? So, for verily I say unto you that whosoever... Is there any whosoever's in here? Every single hand should be in here. If you're born again, you are a whosoever. The Bible says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. You are a whosoever. Why is that so important? Because the Bible also says that the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Now, we have too many Christians that are walking around acting like whom-he-mays. You see why it's so important to identify yourself with the Bible? You are a whosoever. You are a whosoever from the tribe of Judah. It says, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. How can we tell whether we have this heart faith or we are just mentally agreeing? Mental assent says, I know God's word is true. I know God has promised healing, but for some reason, I can't get it. I can't understand it. I know God said that he would meet all our needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I know that's what it said. But what if he doesn't? That's mental assent. I call it playing mental basketball with yourself. And you just need to stop. He said it. It'll happen. Real faith in God's word says, if God's word says it's so, then it's so. It is mine. I have it now. Faith says, I have it, even though I can't see it. Even though I can't feel it. Even though I can't hear it. You see where I'm going with this? No matter what my five natural senses may say, I still have it. And the Bible says, we walk by faith, not by sight. No matter what it may look like in the natural, God's word is above anything that's natural. Anything that's natural is temporal and subject to change with the word of faith. Some people say that they have been praying about hasn't come to pass yet. If you already have it, would you believe it? Would you have to believe it? You wouldn't have to believe it if you already had it. You have to take that step of believing in order to come to the place of knowing. Too many people want to see it before they believe it. They want to feel it before they believe it. I'm going to give you a very dangerous example, and it happens in the charismatic world a lot. They believe they receive something when they feel something. One time, there was a prophet, or they called this guy, he was a prophet, he was going to go up to Level Land, go out there and preach at a meeting, and everybody heard about him and said, man, this guy is so cool. This guy is hot. So we got to get up there. I said, oh, and I'll go with you. I'll run up there. So a bunch of us went up there to this meeting, get up there. And this guy's running around screaming and hollering and doing stuff, and people are falling down, and people are crawling around on the floor and wiggling around, and I got to listen to this guy, and all he was doing was talking about his website, his $30,000 webpage, and he just, that's all he talked about, and he just went on and on and on and on and on and on about this for about 30 minutes, and people were laying on the chairs and laying on the floor. And he got done, and he said, anybody want to get born again, come up here. And he hit the back door. some other ministers from that church went up there to minister to these people that wanted to get born again. There was not one part of the gospel that went forth in that whole meeting. But people believed that they received something because they felt something. They got goosebumps. Maybe their hair felt funny or whatever. I don't know. What did they really receive if the Word of God didn't go forth? See, this is the thing. We do not go by feelings. The devil can give you goosey, bumpy feelings. Did you know that? The devil can make the hair rise on your head. You follow the Word of God only. The Bible tells us, do not be deceived by lying signs and wonders. You know, the devil can do miracles, miracle acts. You heard of magic before? That's a lying sign and wonder. And that's what gets people's attention. See, this is why it's so important for the church to get out and do something. I don't mean to pick on Pete. When I met Pete, the first thing he told me was he was a full-blown atheist. Atheist, didn't it? And I said, okay. But when we prayed for his friend, she started getting better. And this is the exact words out of his mouth. He said, can I go to church where you are? And I said, yeah, of course. He said, I've never seen God do anything in my life, but I've seen that. Now, what would happen if a Satanist would have went in there and got something to change? That happens all the time. You have to understand that every single human being on the face of this earth is a spirit. And their spirits were in contact with the miracle-working God before they were born. They have a craving for the supernatural. They're going to look, they're going to be drawn to the supernatural. One way or the other, they're going to be drawn. They're used to being led by what they can see, touch, feel, smell. There are five natural senses. That's why it's so important for the church to get powered up by the Holy Spirit and go out there and be the church. Maybe somebody will see somebody in the church do something before they see a Satanist do something. Amen? We must believe it is because God's word says it is ours, then it materializes. The verse that we just looked at says that the receiving comes after the believing. Did you catch that? The receiving comes after the believing. That's in Mark 11:24. Says, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Jesus was simply saying, you've got to believe you have it before you can receive it. The only way you're going to come to the point of believing you have it is to focus on that promise. And be like Abraham, become fully persuaded that what God said will come to pass. And then guess what happened? Boom. But if you look at yourself in an effort to try to develop your faith, you're going to be confounded. Remember, the Bible says to look unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. And when we look unto Him, you can't help but see Him in His grace. When you focus on His grace, faith will happen in your heart. Amen? Faith will be a natural thing for you. When you focus on Jesus, when you focus on His grace, focus on those new creation realities. You really can keep it this simple. You don't have to be mechanical about anything. Focus on the goodness of God and on the grace of Jesus and what Jesus has done for you already. And guess what's going to happen? Faith is going to happen in your heart. And then, boom, the supernatural is going to happen in your life. Amen? You may have to wander around talking to yourself for a while. That's all right. You're crazy anyway. Well, we just figured that out. You're waiting on the rapture. And you never seen it before. The Bible says you are a peculiar people. Boy, I'll say. You are a peculiar people. But that's okay. You walk around talking to yourself, saying what God says about you, repeating to yourself the promises of God, repeating to God the promises that He's made to you. He didn't forget. He wants that word to get in your heart so it'll explode in faith. Amen? Thank you, Father, for your words. We thank you for the work of Jesus on that cross. We thank you for the grace of our Lord Jesus. We thank you that when we focus on Him and what He's done for us, that when we focus on the new creation realities and when we meditate on them, we take your word into our heart. Your word, your seed will produce. It'll produce a crop for you, some hundredfold, some 60-fold, some 30. Word will change us from the inside out. We thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right.